This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, this is Greg Buttle, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. That's right. It used to be the Buttle Show, but now it's the K. Show.
No, that was never the case. Hi, everybody. It's Don and Peter on the K. Show. Week two of a K-list show, although Michael will join us coming up on Thursday. So you got that to look forward to. How are you, Peter?
Oh, I was about to ask you. I don't know when he's coming back. It's Thursday?
Thursday, because it's Yankees-Red Sox, so he's not missing that.
Okay. Okay, good for him. Take a straight 10 days straight. I like it.
Yeah, enjoy himself. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 20 years. Hopefully everybody had a tremendous weekend. How was yours, Peter?
It was pretty nice. It was pretty nice. Did my first any sort of like performance in a very long time, which was cool. A little overwhelming. Definitely a little antsy about it, but I enjoyed it.
What did you do?
I had that event in Brooklyn in Bushwick.
Oh, that's right.
Where I performed songs off the album. I brought out artists and DJ'd for them, and it was fun. It was a little weird to get back out there and close talk with people and handshake with people, but I enjoyed it.
Good. Trying to get somewhat back to normal, and you still got the merch. You're wearing that.
That's right. Why not?
And we're expecting more rain and all that, but you know what? We had a pretty decent weekend, and it didn't close well for the Mets and Yankees. Let's put it that way, and let's start there. Because, boy, the Mets had a chance to win 3 out of 4 against Pittsburgh, get the split, blow a 5-0 lead in the first inning. I'm watching that game thinking, all right, it's going to be a laugher. They're going to win 20-0 going to the All-Star break, skipping. They don't score another run the rest of the way, lose 6-5, and split against an awful Pirates team. Awful. But before you can sink your teeth into that, 7-2, ninth inning, Yankees on their way to a sweep, Peter.
Oh, yeah.
Sweeping the Astros, the hated Astros, the cheating Astros. And boy, were they walking the walk and talking the talk the first 2 days, right? Tremendous performance by Cole on Saturday. Judge hits the home run that proves to be the game winner. Trolls back at the Astros a bit with the jersey, and it's chilly. And then Sanchez on Sunday, looks like he puts the game away. It's 7-2. He puts the jacket on. Oh, the Yankees are strutting, feeling good. Took 2 out of 3 from Seattle. About to sweep Houston. Stick it. Stick it right to him, Peter.
Sniff him.
Sniff him dead. And then the bottom of the ninth came. And hit after hit after hit. And then that guy again, Peter, that guy. Altuve. 3-run home run off of Chad Green. 7-2 becomes an 8-7 loss. You still took 2 out of 3. You still took 4 out of 6 on the trip. But boy, you do not feel good going into the All-Star break. And there's just so many different directions to go into. And this Yankees Pinstripe Report is brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Let's just start with Chapman's killing this team, Peter. He's killing them. Because they just can't use them. And I get it. They have Cole throw more pitches than he's ever pitched in his career on Saturday. More pitches than any pitcher has thrown so far this year. 127 pitches to get the complete game win. Basically shouted down Boone, get away from me. I'm finishing this game. But the reason it was even an issue is because you couldn't go to Green. He had thrown 26 pitches the day before, and you can't go to Chapman. He was in the bullpen, Peter, warming up. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it, Peter. If you brought Chapman into that game and they lose the game because Chapman blows it again, Boone might as not even show up on Sunday.
Sweet irony.
You're done. So Cole, the whole reason they got him, I'm not going to say that was worth the contract because there's still 7 years left. We got a long way to go. But that's the reason you get him. From moments like that, big win, 1-0, 7-2, ninth inning. Yesterday, can't go to him. So So they got Herman, who didn't throw a lot because of the dentist situation, the root canal. That gave you some innings.
Puts
a couple of guys on, and then you go to Chad Green, who's now your unofficial closer. He did not pitch the day before. Does not have it, Peter. Doesn't have it. Mm. And gets lit up. But Chapman's not even an issue. He can't do it. So that's going to hurt this team moving forward, Peter, because unless he gets himself right during the All-Star break or at some point, you know, they are making decisions based on not having their big-time closer. It affected how many pitches Cole had to throw on Saturday, and it should be okay. He's got the All-Star break, won't throw again until next week. But it would have been nice to be able to not have him throw that many pitches, Peter. And now, you know, you don't even, he's not even an option the next day. So you could kill Boone all you want. Should have got the hook. Should have got Green out of there. Don't have a lot of choices. But Aroldis Chapman right now is just not a part, not even in question right now. Can't use him. It's going to kill them, Peter, in the second half. It's going to kill them. And I don't know how he gets right. Because they tried to pitch him the other day in Seattle with a big lead, and he walked two guys. I don't know what you do about that.
And think about, and now in retrospect, what if you had played him? I mean, as bad as he's been, Don, was he going to do that?
Well, if he did, again, Boone might as well not even get on the plane.
But it's so funny, though, because the same result happened, right?
Right.
It just wasn't him.
Right. And
the worst-case scenario happened. It just wasn't Chapman.
Boone's still getting killed. But I don't know what you really can do in that situation. He's your closer. You got a big lead. I don't know. Anything he does there, if it's ineffective, then he's going to look bad. All right. So that's a major problem. And I don't know how you felt about this, Peter. And I'm sure every Yankee fan in the world had zero problem with it at the time. As a matter of fact, it was received welcomely by the Yankee fan base when it happened. So Saturday, Judge hits the home run. And he kind of trolls the Astros with the, you know, with the jersey, kind of closing the jersey like he's chilly, like, oh, don't rip it off me, don't rip it off me.
Yeah, it was just like a slight,
not a big deal,
tug between second and third, basically.
Right. And I'm looking at Twitter, and some people are like, this is why Judge should be the captain. The fans were loving it; they were eating it up. Now, I didn't like it at the time, Peter, because it's 1-0. It wasn't a walk-off home run. So now they're all partying on Sunday. They got the 7-2 lead. Sanchez hits the home run, puts the jacket on. He's chilly. But then, just like the last series at the stadium, the guy that's got the last laugh is Altuve. And now his jersey comes off. And where was that tattoo they were working on? It was my understanding, one of the reasons he didn't want the jersey ripped off is because there was a tattoo in progress. There was no tattoo in progress. He's got a tattoo on his chest. That takes 5 minutes. That wording or whatever. That's not something you got to go back 3-4 sessions, Peter, for. You sit there for an hour, you get it done.
Yeah, he didn't seem that bashful.
No, he didn't seem bashful, and all of a sudden, all the garbage from 2019. But here's the point, all right, that everybody's missing with ripping Altuve. I think we all realize, at least I do, something was going on in 2019. But they never got caught doing it. This isn't 2017. That was the trash cans. They got caught for that. 2019 is all a hypothetical. I believe that he was wired. I believe something was going on, but it was never proven. They never had to admit to anything. So now he doesn't have a wire, Peter, and he gets the jersey ripped off. So he gets the last laugh like, all right, well, whatever happened in 2019 happened, but right now I just beat you with a home run, and look, I got no wire. So he ends up getting the last word. So you rubbed it in their face when you were winning the game, but at the end of the day, he gets the last say by hitting a 3-run home run. Now, a Yankee could say, well, wait a minute, we beat him 2 out of 3 at the stadium. We beat him 2 out of 3 in Houston. We're beating them. Yeah, but you're still 8 games out. They're going to the playoffs. They're 20 games over. So they're in good shape. So you might beat them 2 out of 3 every time you play them, but the last 2 times, Altuve still had the last word. They're into the team that's going to go to the playoffs, and you may not. So I'm not really sure the Yankees should be stirring the pot at all. Just go ahead and beat them. Keep your head down. Beat them. Last time Judge tried to troll was in the Red Sox series back in 2018, playing New York, and then the Red Sox didn't lose another game on their way to a championship. So when you're still trying to figure it out yourself, Peter, and you still got a fan base that's wondering whether you got the right general manager and the right manager, and you have not been able to figure it out all year, just because you happen to win 4 out of 6 doesn't mean everything's okay that you can do that. Am I wrong, Peter? Am I being too old school? Am I being too get off my lawn? Well, that this team who's never been able to really gain any traction over anything good they do. Remember, before they all collapsed, they won 8 of 10. Are they really in a position, Peter, to play that game?
Well, listen, it certainly doesn't appear like it now after things turned out the way they did, right? My biggest problem was sort of the half-pregnancy of the whole thing. I really feel like if you are going to go down the path of trash talk, Don, you got to do it. You got to do it. I really thought the judge thing, am I the only one who felt it was like very sheepish? It's almost like you're not sure if you want to be that guy.
And, I can
and
see
if you're not sure, don't do
like
it.
That guy.
And I agree.
So aggravated, he probably felt like I wanted to do something. But you're right. It wasn't like a full-blown big deal. And they won the game anyway.
Like, in my opinion, if you wanted to do the troll of Altuve and the jersey, he gave it one little tug. No, you got to do the whole thing. You got to be pulling it the whole way down before you cross home plate. You got to do the finger wave. You got to do the whole nine. He gave himself one little tug. It was like, I'm not really sure that I want to troll them, but I'm going to give it a shot. And in the end, Don, it ended up, yeah, of course. I mean, listen, they got the win Saturday. They took the series. It's not like you're feeling bad about yourself, but because of the glorious way, especially for Jose Altuve, that the Astros won this series, because of that, it's almost like the sweep is nullified in terms of the relationship with the Astros. It's like the series win is nullified. It's like they didn't win the series because of the dramatic fashion in which they lost on Sunday.
Because of that guy.
That
anybody
guy.
Else beats them, maybe it's a little bit of a different story, but it was that guy again.
And to cap off just an absolute collapse in the ninth inning.
Do you realize, I want to get the exact stat right. I got it written down here, thanks to Andrew Gunling. So far this season, teams that have had a 4-plus run lead going to the ninth inning, their record is 493-2. The two losses, Peter, Yankees, against the Angels, against the Astros. So 495 times this year, a team has had 4 runs or more of a lead going into the ninth inning, and only twice they've lost, and both times it was the Yankees. Crazy. Now, I understand what you're saying. If you're going to do it, own it. But I don't want to see that either. The home run came in the top of the third. Got a lot of baseball left to play. I mean, if it's a walk-off, it's a different story. But you are so spot on that everything that was accomplished on this road trip and everything that happened in Houston, boy, just feels like it got flushed down the toilet because of that ninth inning. It's 7-2. It's over. You're going to sweep them. You're going to have a 5-1 road trip, and now it just becomes the same narrative. They can't sweep a series. Remember, they got one hit in Seattle in the final game of that series. Then they blow a 5-run lead in the ninth inning in the final game of the Houston series. They did gain some ground because Boston did lose against Philadelphia. You're still mathematically alive, still very much alive for the wild card. But it's not about that. It's about just trying to gain some traction. And you don't have a closer right now. And we've been down this road with this team before. Oh, they figured it out. I said to you before this road trip started, I said, don't be surprised they go 4-2. I'm not going to be sold if they do. Because guess who's looming after the All-Star break? A nice, big, juicy 4-game set against the Red Sox, a team you haven't beaten all year. So they're still very much alive. This is the reason they don't sell, Peter. This is the reason they're not blowing it up. Because of series like this against Houston and Seattle. Because of a road trip like this. They're never going to fall completely out of it. They're going to tease you enough to stay in. But is it good enough to win a championship? Is it good enough to even make the playoffs? We'll have to see. That's the Yankees Pinstripe Report brought to you by Woodbridge, by proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. Mets have to be a part of the conversation as well. I was very excited about the Mets because they were taking on a Pirate team that was 20 games under 500. And I felt this was a real chance to kind of pad their lead against a terrible Pirate team. But what you're starting to see with this Met team after they only get the split, they split the doubleheader, and they end up blowing a 5-0 lead yesterday, scoring 5 runs, not scoring again, is that the problem why it's hard to really believe this team isn't flawed is they've got the second-worst offense in baseball. And it's going to come back to haunt them. They pieced together, trying to get 27 outs without a starting pitcher. They get 5 runs in the first inning and don't score again. Diaz gets out of a tremendous jam in the 8th inning, first and third, 1 out. But he's got to get a 5-out save and just didn't have it in the 9th inning. And there's really nothing you could do about it. The only thing I thought of, Peter, and I'm wondering if you thought the same thing, is could you have used DeGrom? And there was speculation he might be available on Sunday, but he had a bullpen session, so he was unavailable. But I was wondering, boy, that'd be great to bring him in the 9th inning, get the side retired, or just have him be one of the 4 guys they were trying to piece 27 outs together.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. Diaz gives it up. But this is a loss on the offense because you can't score 5 runs against that team and then go the next 8 and not get a sniff the rest of the way. That should have been a 10-1 win. You take 3 out of 4, gain another game on Washington who got swept by San Francisco, gain another game on the Braves who lost to the Marlins. And by the way, Acuna, how awful is that? Looks like, you know, he's going to have season-ending surgery. He's done for the year. Mm. Another player, by the way, not in the All-Star game. But, you know, their best player now out for a Brave team that's underachieved. Philadelphia did well against Boston, but I don't believe in their bullpen. The Mets are still going to make the playoffs in my mind, but that weekend shows you why they're flawed. Now, they come out of the All-Star break taking on Pittsburgh again. But, Peter, that was a tough one. That you had that in your pocket for a win, a nice series win, and that really stunk to only take 2 out of 4 against Pittsburgh in your own building.
Well, yeah, the bottom line is when you're a team that's on the better end of things, you know, when you're a solid team, a good team does away and wins series against bad teams, particularly at home. It's a weird day because you're right, Don. I mean, no one wants to celebrate an injury, and we certainly won't on this show. However, if you're being realistic, Don, about what the Mets' prospects are in the NL East, to me, the biggest concern was the Braves sort of waking up and being the Braves. And with Acuna getting a torn ACL, you never know. But, Don, that's as big a loss as they could possibly take.
No, listen, and again, it's a team that's under 500. They've underachieved. Washington lost 4 in a row, got swept by San Francisco. Philadelphia, they did take the series. They won a couple of games in a row against Boston, but they're still only a 500 team. But the Mets are only 7 over. So there's still a lot to get excited about, but here's what's so interesting, and I want to open up the phones at 1-800-919-3776. Just shows you location, location, location. The Mets are 7 games over at 47-40 and largely celebrated for it. They're a first-place team, 4 up in the loss column on Philadelphia. The general consensus is they're a playoff team, and they've overcome so much with all the injuries that you can feel good about the Mets' first half. The Yankees, they're 46-43. They've only got 2 less wins than the Mets. Now, they played more games, so they're only 3 over. And their fan base is ready to jump off the George Washington Bridge. They're sitting in 4th place. They're 8 games out of 1st place. The wild card is actually pretty doable for the Yankees as they sit right now 3 games back of the loss column against Atlanta, but they've got to jump over Toronto, Cleveland, and Seattle to get there. So it's interesting. The records are almost identical, but one team seems like they're in free fall, that the fan base is ready to just sell off, and the Mets feeling good. Why? Because the Mets are in a bad league and a bad division, and the Yankees are stuck in 4th place. But a lot of the same things exist with this team. You wonder about the back end of the rotation for both teams. There's some suspect that as far as the bullpen is concerned. Certainly for the Mets as far as leading up to Diaz, and for the Yankees, who's going to close in the second half of the season? Is it going to be Green? Is it going to be Loaisiga when he comes off COVID protocol? Is it going to be Zach Britton, who should be back for the second half of the season? And also, even though the Yankees are a better offensive team than the Mets, certainly there's a lot of deficiencies as far as with runners in scoring position and consistency with both of these teams. So the Mets are going to get a better grade, Peter, than the Yankees in the first half based on where they are, but they're kind of similar. If the Yankees, if they flip-flop divisions, the Yankees are in first place, and the Mets, you know, are battling to just be able to make the playoffs. If the Mets were in the American League East, they would be sitting there in third place. So I guess you give a better grade, Peter, to the Mets for that reason.
Well, yeah, and of course expectations are different. You know, they've both had their share of things to deal with. But also, isn't there less patience for the Yankees' injuries at this point, too?
Well, especially after the recent history. Well, not even that recent.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Portion of the history.
Right. Like, because it's been now so repeatedly annoying every year, the hurt. I just feel like fans don't have the same patience, whereas the Mets this year running into some random stuff, I think people are more forgiving of it. It doesn't seem like a problem, an endemic problem for the Mets.
Although there has been a history there too, but you're right.
But not now in the same way.
And for the most part, they've survived it. The Yankees have as well in recent years, but certainly the Mets this year have been able to survive it. But you know, a lot of guys are back now. Nimmo's back. Nitto's back. Alonso was hurt. He's back. You know, they're getting healthy, and yet still the offense is a little bit of a problem. Lindor had a big home run in the first inning, but you know, otherwise it's still, from a batting average standpoint, not been a great season for him. Conforto had a big home run, but he really hasn't done much since coming back from his injury. But the Mets sit there in first place, and the Yankees are in fourth. Location, location, location. All right, I want to hear from you. 1-800-919-3776. Lots to get into. Mets, Yankees, Game 3. Peter's feeling good about himself because he knew this was going to happen. And also, I do want to get into Italy, England.
Really?
I do. Just from the standpoint of, boy, did people have opinions on the way that game ended. And I think it's something that should be addressed.
Opinions on how the game ended, just tell me a little bit more about what you mean.
Just that they just didn't continue playing, that it can end on penalty kicks like that.
Oh, got it. Okay. I didn't know if you were talking about the reported outpouring of racism that happened by English fans as well. I don't know if you meant
I'm trying to, you know,
focus on
I'm just, I just got a toe in. All right.
Listen, don't
it. Did I want applause for the pinky toe into the shallow end? Yeah. I wanted a few little applause.
Oh, for mentioning soccer at all.
Talk some soccer. Now all of a sudden you've got me in like scuba gear.
No.
In the depths of the ocean there.
But listen, we'll get into it, but as far as the PK thing goes, I mean, I feel like Andrew obviously will be the one to weigh in on this heavily, but I feel like this is a big conversation every time a massive match ends in PKs.
But I think there's a lot to get into because it was a big deal and a lot of people have very passionate opinions, and I think you can apply it to other sports as well, just from the tension standpoint of it. So we're going to get into all of that. 1-800-919-3776. Don and Peter. It's the K Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This sounded...
people on Twitter bring up a great point. You know, Chapman's got to face three batters. Let's not forget that. So if he walks the first two like he did the other day, well, then he's got to face that third batter. Bang, gives up a three-run home run. It's 7-5 with nobody out. Like, so it's not like the old days. Let him get in, as soon as he gets in trouble, get him out of there. Well, you know, as soon as he gets in trouble might be after that second batter and he's forced to face the third batter. Also, Thomas says, can't wait for real Michael K to come back to the Michael K Show. Don LaGreca talks way too much. Doesn't let poor Peter say anything.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Peter.
You know I want all the mic time when it comes, especially in baseball subjects. I want it all. Which, by the way, was the name of the song we just played off the fantastic Real Late album. Sounded great live in person on Sunday as well. You know, yep. I am feeling really good, though, today, Don. I did something this weekend that has changed my work experience.
Mm-hmm.
I moved my turntables off of the desk that I work at and put them like back on the record shelf that they used to be on, opening up my desk entirely. I can't describe to you the freedom with which I'm working today.
Oh, that's always a big deal.
It feels so good.
I spent some time messing around with the man cave yesterday because we were under the assumption it was going to be like not a great weather day. It ended up being pretty nice. But I came down and cleaned it all out.
I'm just happy you finally have it. I'm just happy that after a year and change, you have a chair that's sittable.
Oh, and then I got the coffee machine. Got to make myself a nice, wonderful hazelnut coffee.
Look at you, Don.
Coming
Look
up
at you.
In the next break. It's going to be great. Now, this is usually time for the Daily Don, but we don't need the song because it's not really the Daily Don. I was thinking about this as far as who you're taking out. Now, back on, this is the infancy of the pandemic, March 18th, 2020.
Okay.
Matter of fact, that's the first week because it was the 16th that Monday. This was the Wednesday. This was day three of us at home that I did this. Top villains in for each of the New York teams. Who are you taking out?
Okay.
For the Yankees, do you remember who we had for the Yankees?
For the Yankees, did we have... No. I mean, there's options. But Altuve was not one.
And you guys all agreed, no, we had David Ortiz.
Got it. That's what I figured.
As the top villain. 303 batting average against the Yankees, 171 RBIs, which is second all-time. 53 home runs, second all-time, 142 walks, second all-time.
You know the one thing, though, about David Ortiz, though, right? He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. Now, there's also the cheating aspect, too, because he was on the list, although nobody ever counts him because he's a great guy.
By the way, if anyone wants to know, hey, why don't they ever count David Ortiz? Here's your answer. He's a great guy.
Great guy.
It gets you through a lot.
So let me ask you this. Right now, if I were to do that, would I have Altuve over David Ortiz?
Again, this is where I really get frustrated because our all-time... Actually, you know what? I say yes because I don't think that Yankees fans truly hate Poppy. It's more of a legitimate competitive rivalry. I think they hate Altuve. Like, let me say this. And Yankees fans can tell us throughout the rest of the day when they call. If you were to see Big Poppy at a restaurant, you would probably say... Poppy, you really killed us, man. You killed us. If you saw Altuve, you would either say something unkind or wouldn't say anything at all.
Right, you're right. See, to me, the tiebreaker would be this. Even if you hated David Ortiz as a Yankee fan, you had to accept the fact that the Yankees didn't agree with you. The Yankees all loved him. But I don't think any of the Yankees love Altuve.
It's so different in that regard.
And I know it's recency bias and all that, but there's history here. You go back to 17, obviously 2019. He's killed you twice with home runs and the two wins the Astros have against the Yankees. I think he has surpassed Ortiz.
Yep. We're on the same page.
And just to revisit, because it was such a long time ago, I had the Mets villain as Chipper Jones. I had the Giants' Emmett Smith. This one was controversial back in the day. I had the Jets' Dan Marino. Now, a lot of younger fans ripped me because it should be Tom Brady. But
yeah, probably should be.
I had Marino because I just older and more knowledgeable. Knicks.
Wait.
Michael Jordan. And then the Nets, I struggled. I went with the owner, Roy Bowe, who sold Dr. J. But would there be for a Net fan now, a year removed, would there be a villain?
I mean, the way that they treat him when he's in the building, it's hard to feel like Giannis isn't a villain right now.
Yeah, probably Giannis.
Giannis isn't going to get booed out of the building when he comes back next year, especially if they win the championship this year.
That's one to keep an eye on if we revisit this next year. I had for the Rangers, Denny Potvin, for the Islanders, Dale Hunter, and for the Devils, Mark Messier. So that was revisiting who you're taking out, and I think we're taking out David Ortiz.
Who are you taking out?
For Jose Altuve. Let's get back to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Louis in the Bronx, you're on ESPN. Louis!
Hey, Louis.
Got to turn down that radio. audio Lue, device Lue. Or television.
Oh. Huh?
No, no.
Well, hey.
Yeah. A little struggle there.
What's up, homies?
All right.
Hi, who am I speaking to, please?
No, he's still not there. These are all very good drops, but I know he's still not there. I just know it.
All right, maybe Tony in the Bronx could help out. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller, but I'm just listening to the whole narrative on what happened this weekend with the Yankees. And respectfully, man, I think you're out of your mind that they don't go to Chapman in that situation. I mean, because the worst-case scenario is exactly what happened anyway. Boone gets killed and they lose the game. Boone gets killed anyway. If you know what I mean, in that situation, if Chapman comes in.
But let me ask you, what's the benefit of going to Chapman? I listen, you have the luxury of knowing what went down. But at that particular moment, you were screaming, get Chapman in the game? Honestly, Tony.
No, I wouldn't say I was screaming it, but it was certainly, like, hey, let's go to the big guy. You know, let's go to the closer. I mean, I know he hasn't been right. I'm not going to sit here and say that
he's been way wrong.
Good. No, for sure. But you got to imagine that. I think the caller that called earlier that said, if you're not going into him in this type of situation, then what situation are you going into?
None. None right now.
With a five-run lead.
The answer's none.
With a five-run lead, if it goes wrong, you know what? I kind of got to live with it. Honestly, as a fan, I just kind of got to live with it. And I know that sucks because, Boone probably gets killed for it and they lose the game. But we lost the game anyway, and Boone's still getting killed.
Yeah, but wait. Tony, you're not making any sense. All right, first of all, you're up 7-2. So you're probably not even thinking about who they're going to bring in to the ninth inning because you got a 5-run lead and the Astros haven't scored anything the entire series, okay? You've got your whole bullpen that you could use, theoretically, because Tyone started and Herman came in and pitched 2 innings. All right? So you figure, I'll go to Herman. He had pitched well, going into that inning, and then obviously it all fell apart with the first 3 batters that he faced in the ninth inning. But if you go back to the bottom half of the eighth inning, because Herman came in, because remember, he didn't have to pitch a lot because he only came in a little bit later on because of the root canal. So he pitches the bottom half of the eighth inning, just trying to get the timeline here, gets Altuve to ground out, Brantley singles, and then he gets a double play. So he didn't have to throw too many pitches. So, all right, if you want to kill Boone for saying, like, why didn't you go to anybody else in the bullpen? But he's got a 5-run lead, and he figures, all right, Herman needs the work. He did. He pitched well in the bottom half of the eighth inning. I'm going to have him start. So I don't know why you would think I'm going to try to get Chapman right here in a game that you feel like you really need to win, and Chapman's got to face 3 batters. All right? So now we go to the bottom of the ninth inning, Peter. Mm-hmm. Herman gives up a single and a double. And then he gives up another double that brings a run in. At that particular point, are you bringing in Chapman or are you bringing in your closer? Because Green's your closer now. And he didn't pitch the day before. So you telling me you're going to bring in Chapman then? No, you're going to bring in Green. So now the question is, when Green gets in trouble, are you going to bring in Chapman? No, because Chapman has been awful. I'm not exactly sure, Peter, when you would have had Chapman pitch. To start the inning? I'm going to try to have Chapman figure it out the day before the All-Star break against a team we could possibly sweep up 5 runs in a building that gives up a ton of runs? No. Come on, people. Seriously. And then he tells me I'm out of my mind?
Now, okay, how about this? What if they had already gotten away from Herman at the end of the 8th? Like he survived the 8th but didn't look good, and they weren't going to go back. Would you give Chapman the clean slate 5-run lead?
No. What I would have probably done, Peter, because you really need the game, and because Green didn't pitch the day before, and Green's not going to pitch again until Thursday possibly, I'd have Green start the inning in a non-save situation. Why am I going to Chapman? He's like gasoline on the fire. Really, people? This is the particular situation where you need to get him right?
See, that's the argument people have. It's like, well, this is a chance to get Chapman right. Bring in the big fella. Get him right. That's where you want to try to get things right? When you got a chance to sweep the hated Astros? Finish up the road trip 5-1? No. Let them get right against the Red Sox up 20. Let them get right against the Phillies up 10 in the ninth inning. Eventually, you're going to have to address this situation, but no. We're just talking about how everything was ruined. The entire weekend was ruined based on the fact that you couldn't get out of Dodge on Sunday, and that's where you want Chapman to come in to get right? In a game that you desperately needed? No. We'll put the Mets on the table as well. They deserve to get ripped. It's Don and Peter on the K-Show on Yes at 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Don and Peter here on the Michael K. Show. 1-800-919-3776 is the number to call. Carmine tweeted out, and I want to confirm this. Maybe Andrew can confirm it as well, that Chapman has a no-trade clause, $17 million per year. They're not moving him. I mean, they might want to move him. And maybe if he was pitching better, there might be a team out there that would say, I will take a chance on him, but not at the rate that he's pitching right now. And it is the elephant in the room that he is struggling the way he is struggling because of the spider tech or the lack thereof. Well, guess what? Then people are not going to want him, or certainly if they're going to get him, it's going to be at a discount. So, no, I don't think they're going to be trading him away. Fans want to get rid of guys. But it takes two to tango.
During the break, Don, I told Andrew I was going through a little stash of authentic jerseys that I'd had in my storage.
Right.
And I was asking him to guess who they were because it's such a random array of players.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, if we were to have a contest where I give the teams and the era in which I bought the jerseys, do you think if I said if someone can guess all the players, I'll give them all the jerseys, is there any chance someone could get them?
They'd have to guess all four. It was four, right?
Because
that's...
Yeah.
No. There's one in particular that I think will be a stumbling block. I don't want to say it in case you're going to do this, but yeah.
Oh, you know them?
Yeah, I went through them with Peter during the break. It'd be fun to watch people try, but I don't think it can be done.
All right, well, I'll just put this out here. And if someone can call and guess all of them, I will give you the jerseys, okay? And they're authentic. They are all authentic jerseys. I'm sorry?
Four authentic jerseys purchased when? In what window?
These were purchased around, and this is important, I would say they were purchased between 1998 and 2002. There is a Packers jersey. There is a Vikings jersey. There is a Saints jersey. And there is a Denver Nuggets jersey. That was right. That was it, right, Andrew?
Yeah.
Those four. Packers, Vikings, Saints, Nuggets. If you can guess all four names that are on those original authentic jerseys, they're yours. Right there.
And the one you're wearing is not authentic?
Oh, it is authentic. Andrew just brought it up, so I thought, why not throw it on? Andrew was like, don't you have an Otani authentic jersey? And I was like, you know what? I do. And it's sparkling and barely ever worn.
So you only have four others?
No. I have tons of jerseys. These are just four I'm giving away. This was not in storage. This was in my closet. Those four were in a box. Like, I don't know what to do
with
them.
We can do that if you're willing.
I'm willing.
If I want to sit here and take calls all day.
Well, I don't know if we should. I don't know if we should make that the single topic for the day. But if Andrew can judge if people have a reasonable guess, that's funny to take.
Then just fire them off.
Fire them.
I don't want you sitting there thinking. If you got four.
Yeah, you just pound the names. That's it.
I was like, let me see.
Although I guess it'll get, but Andrew, it will get easier as the day goes on.
So I was going to bring this up. I don't know if it can be a phone contest. It might have to be a Twitter contest, because if people are listening, they'll slowly be getting them by process of elimination.
What, that's a great point. And every once in a while, you can throw out some of the guesses.
Wait, how about this, though? What if we never tell them which one they get wrong? We just tell them if they got all four of them or not.
Okay, that works. Because you're right, they can't know for
future
guesses.
We can't go
guesses.
yes, no. We have right. to just say no, it's not the correct four.
So they got
to
come out with all four of them, and it's just a blanket, you got it or you didn't.
All right, I like that. And also, Peter, I think it might be a good idea to bring back the trivia this week. What do you think? We got 2 days after this before Michael returns on Thursday. So do you think there's room tomorrow or Wednesday to do trivia? It's been a while.
I'd love a trivia.
You think there's an appetite for it out there?
There's the biggest appetite is for the Daily Don, but I'd be open to it. But it's Daily Don.
I like the Jeopardy idea. We tried to do the Jeopardy, but Michael was so against it that we ended up not having any fun. So maybe we can do a Jeopardy version.
I'm open.
Now we have our first guest. You don't want me to read them. You want to just look at it, right, and say yes or no.
You have a guest, or there's a listener?
No, there's a listener, Anthony. Anthony Perry Jr. has four guesses. But do I
okay,
read
let's
them?
Take it. Yeah, whatever you want. Either take okay. them from him or read them.
AP, Reggie Bush, Moss, Pierce.
Here's another one, Peter, that just came in from Chris Carlin. He texted me, Don Majakowski, Randy Moss, Ricky Williams, and Nick Van Exel.
I won't say anything. I'll simply say these are extremely wrong.
Really?
Extremely wrong.
And he said it was Packers, Vikings, Saints, and Nuggets.
That's right.
Purchased between 98 and 02.
That's right.
Because I might want to formulate a guess as well.
All right, I would love that.
But I don't want to do the and ah. I want to write it down and I'll hit you with it. So in the meantime, we'll go to the phones at 1-800-919-3776. Steven, Staten Island, you're on ESPN New York. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I want to see you guys are doing a great job. You have fantastic chemistry, and thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime Yankee fan, and I'm a big Aaron Judge fan. I think he's a great ball player, good person. But there's little things that bother me about the way he goes about, you know, being a leader on the team. Yesterday he woke up the sleeping giant by tugging at his jersey. We know about that. But I don't know if anybody ever pointed out what he did last week when he broke up the no-hitter by Tyron Walker. It was the first hit. They're down 8-0. And he gets to the dugout, and they do the all pre-recorded, you know, pre-rehearsed high fives, and they're jumping and jiving and the weaving with Stanton. I'm like, you know what? I'm old school where I'm like just like Paul O'Neill, put your head down, run the bases, high five the guys, and get in the dugout. And just doing stuff like that, I just think he's got to read the room. I just think he needs to have a little better leadership. I mean, I understand you want to have kids play, let the players play, but I think you need to read the room a little bit.
Well, I'm always stuck in between of these things. You know, Michael and I have that conversation about the bat flip and having fun and all that. And the Walker thing doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that where are you right now? Like, you make it seem like, oh, because you've taken a 1-0 lead in the top of the third inning and because you beat the Astros the day before, that you now have it over on them? They're in first place. All right, so you beat them. That's great. That's really the only thing you can do. I don't want to see you headhunting. I don't want you to see you hitting anybody. You got to go out there and beat them. But, Peter, I just didn't think that it was appropriate in the sense that there was still a lot of work to be done.
Correct.
You're tugging at the jersey in the top of the third inning in a 1-0 game. Now, you ended up winning the game 1-0, but I can understand it if it was a walk-off. And then you're messing around with Sanchez wearing the jacket. And in a game that you didn't get to sweep, you want to have your fun, you want to say something in a post-game press conference or whatever, I get it. I'm not going to feel bad for the Astros. They made their own bed. They got to lie in it. But you left the door open for them to have the last say.
And you can feel good about taking 4 out of 6 from them in the regular season. You won the season series. But what's that going to mean if you finish 500 and miss the playoffs and they go to the World Series? Because you know what happened? You know what's not being talked about after that home run, Peter? Hmm. When his jersey was ripped off, what was it on him? A wire. Right? So it looks like he beat you fair and square. Because as we talked about last week, they're still a good baseball team. So be careful. You didn't knock him out of the play. Like, again, crow all you want. Bury him. If you eliminate him from the playoffs, but what is all that going to mean if you're sitting home watching them on television winning another World Series? So I just thought the timing was off, Peter. Again, and I'm not trying to feel bad for the Astros. Blank them. They don't deserve any sympathy.
And like I've said earlier in the program, I just think if you're going to go for that and you want to play the route of Ish Talker, where you're going to talk your nonsense and you don't care, you got to go for it. And I felt like it was in the words of, I believe, let me not get this wrong. I believe it was Capone and Noriega who said this first. Don't be halfway thugs. I guess you could go to Mobb Deep, halfway crooks. Oh. Ain't no such thing. I mean, like, Judge was very halfway with his attempt to talk the talk. And then it ended up looking weak.
You know, sometimes people, they, as Michael likes to say, half pregnant.
Super half pregnant.
Is, you got to be a certain type of person to do that. And I don't think Judge is that guy. There are people that like to troll, and they want the world to know they're doing it because they don't have a problem with it. Judge seems like he's a really nice guy that wants to do it, but the reason he's probably not all in, Peter, is because he just doesn't want to be that guy. But maybe he feels like, because he's a leader of the team and that's how the team feels about it, that he wants to do that and have some fun. But in the top of the third inning of a 1-0 game, and then what are we talking about? Instead of talking about what we really, I guess, really should be talking about, that they took 2 out of 3, that they're playing better baseball, the offense has come alive. I want to talk about that Cole performance. That was a heck of a performance by Cole. That's the reason you go out and you get Garrett Cole, to be able to go out there and do that. But it's tough when you lose an historically bad game like that. It's one of the worst losses that I think fans have ever seen, considering who the opponent was. And we gave you the stat before. The record for teams with a lead of 4 or more runs going into the 9th inning this year is 493-2. And the two are the Yankees. The loss to the Angels and the loss to the Astros. So that's what kind of stinks. But you did it to yourself. John in Weartown. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, John?
How you doing, gentlemen? What I'd like to talk about with Don and Pete, who was saying about versus Chapman, but my opinion is when the Yankees, I think it was the 8th inning or the 9th inning, where they had the bases loaded and up 7-2, not one of the players, I don't know if it was Sanchez or, you know, the 3rd or 4th or 5th batters or Voit, they didn't come through for a key hit. That would have made the score, even if they get 2 runs on a base hit, at least would have been 9-2. And also, my opinion is I don't blame a manager. A manager, to me, should have, you know, control of the team. That's the number one. And number two, make up a good lineup. And what I don't like about the lineup is that every day, if somebody gets 2 or 3 hits, they move from position to position. To me, I'm the old Yankee fan back with Mickey Mantle, Hank Bauer, and all those guys. You know, you had a one set lineup. And what he does, in my opinion, he puts the guy that's hot either 3rd, 4th, or something like that. To me, Stanton should be your 4th batter. I know he's not doing good. He's a power hitter. But to me, that's where you start.
I know, John, but we have this conversation all the time, buddy. That's not how the analytics work. They want Judge to get more at-bats. Batting 4th, if he bats 2nd, he'll get one more at-bat than if he bats 4th. So, but if you know, then...
I know that, but to me, Stanton should be your 4th batter. Right. Where you want to put Judge and Voit in them, that's up to you. You got a good leadoff guy in DJ, but now this year he's not performing like he did the last 2 years, okay? Because there's pressure on the Yankees. They're not coming through. You know, baseball is a hard game to play. So that's the only one thing I would say about Boone. But the Yankees got to come true when you have men on base. Make it easier for your relief pitcher. Make it easier.
Listen, just like the Mets, tack on runs, right? Don't be satisfied with a 7-2 lead. Tack on runs, especially in that building where you're really susceptible to giving up home runs, especially against that team that offers a lot of offense. David Amandi, Alex English, Reggie White, Randall Cunningham, Joe Horn. Oh, I thought he was close.
I'll tell you this. I've received more tweets at Rosenberg Radio in the last 5 minutes on this subject than maybe anything I've ever said on the show. And one person in all of those tweets got two.
Okay.
But that's pretty tough. I got like 75 tweets. One person got two.
I'm gonna formulate mine right now. And I'll have it when we come back. 1-800-919-3776. Don and Peter on the K Show on Yes at 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Say, I'm really struggling with these guesses here because I want to have a legitimate shot here, Peter. Not that I want the jerseys, but I want a respectable guesses here. I want a shot.
All right. And by the way, Don, if you were to get it, I would say you could give them out to the listeners of your choice.
Oh, that would be nice. So, in case you're joining us late, Peter's got in storage 4 authentic jerseys with the names. Well, who are the players? He's got a Nuggets jersey, a Saints jersey,
mm-hmm.
a Vikings jersey, and a Packer jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really... All right, I think I'm ready.
All right.
Because a lot of people are guessing, the easy guesses for the Packers, Reggie White, Brett Favre. But I'm just going to go and I'm going to say Donald Driver for the Packers, Randy Moss for the Vikings, Joe Horn for the Saints, Isaiah Ryder for the Nuggets.
Well, I'd like to congratulate you, Don. You managed to get everyone wrong.
Yeah, all right. Chauncey Billups would have been the famous of the early 2000 Nuggets. But I thought maybe Isaiah Ryder because he was with UNLV. I didn't see anybody on Maryland. So I have no idea who the Nugget could be. Joe Horn was big in the early 2000s with the Saints.
Sure.
Moss
yeah.
is a forever player. And Driver was probably Favre's best receiver then. So, all right, 0 for 4.
I want to be fair. The latest of the purchases could have come as late as 03. If that does anything for you. It could have been the latest at 03. I think I said 02 before, but it's 02, 03-ish, that range.
But did I have a respectable...
No.
Okay. Well, I know they're all wrong.
No, was the logic respectable?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah. I'm seeing some really... There's
just
some special, some special names coming up here, though, on the list.
Well, let's see. Jarvis... In Brooklyn, you're on ESPN New York. What do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up? Man, this is tough. All right, so I'm going to go here. I'm going to go with, I'm going to say Favre, Packers. Then I'm going to go Vikings, Cunningham. Change it up a bit. I say Ricky Williams for the Saints. And my last one is Mutombo. What you got for me?
Ah, and we can't tell you how close you were.
I could tell you your offering was significantly more respectable than Don's.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'm just trying to change it up a bit. It was tough, man, but great talking to you guys, man. I love the show.
Well, thanks.
Appreciate you, bro.
What Peter's asking is
it's nearly impossible. It didn't cross my mind kind of how impossible it was until Andrew started throwing out names. and we got to a couple in them, and he just said, This is not doable. One in particular he thinks is not gettable.
God hates me.
Let's try a couple more. John in East Meadow, you're on ESPN New York. What do you got?
I just have a quick question for Peter. Could the latest one be from 2004 for the Vikings?
Could it be? Could it be
2004 instead of 2003?
That year going that late for the Vikings would not help you.
Okay. I was gonna.
That's a little hint. I gave you a little. I'll give little hints like that. I'll give little hints that would not help you.
I was gonna go Brock Lesnar for your love of wrestling, but I'll change.
Wow. I saw someone else throw that up on Twitter. No. You can stay in the 90s for the Vikings.
Okay. I'll go Varv, Rafe LaFrance, Deuce McAllister, and John Randall.
Yeah.
Wrong.
That's
where you got to go. You got to.
Yeah, no, a lot of people. I saw a few Rafe LaFrance there on Twitter.
I thought about it. Those were the three that I thought about. The first thing I did was, all right, anybody from Maryland, because I figured that would probably be. Then I know that, you know, you had a little affection for UNLV. That's why I went Ryder.
Well, everyone did. I had no more than anyone else. I'll just say this. I'll also throw this out. No one's from Maryland.
Oh, that's nice. All right. Yeah. One more, and then we'll try to keep it exclusive to social media. Francisco in Franklin Square. You're on ESPN New York.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm going to say Packers, Brett Favre. Minnesota is Dante Culpepper. Saints, Aaron Brooks. And the Nuggets, Antonio McDice.
You were as respectable as the guy we had a few back. Significantly better than Don, but not there yet.
Now, let me ask you this, because there's been a few guesses. You admitted that I went 0-for-4, which you shouldn't have done that.
Before. I know. You're right.
But has anybody gotten one right of the guesses?
Has anybody gotten one right?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I just said that a couple of the people who just called?
Yeah.
Yeah, two of those people had people. The ones I said who did significantly better than you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they hit some.
Oh, they hit different.
They hit different. They both hit different, honestly.
Now, Jay just has a question about the jerseys because I guess he thinks he has a chance to win. You're in Bronx. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Jay?
I wonder, this is from 2002-98, what size are these jerseys? This is the humongous jersey era, so I'm curious what size. It's important for the people to know.
They range from 48 to 52. The Nuggets one could be a 44. So I would say they're between 44 and 52, that large to extra large. The Saints one and the Vikings one are gigantic. The Packers one and the Nuggets one both fit nicely on me.
That's beautiful. A huge Vikings jersey is like Barney. It's really breathtaking.
It's big Barney vibes.
All right, I'm going to put these in. I'm going to go Favre, Culpepper. What's the guy I was just going to say? Ricky Williams. And I'm going to go Melo as the 03 jersey for the Nuggets.
Listen, it was a guess. You made guesses. Guesses were made.
All right,
appreciate the effort.
That sounded like an 0-for-4, but we can't confirm.
I cannot confirm.
All right, Peter.
How do we reveal this, though? At what time do we say, you know what, enough's enough?
Maybe an ENN?
Sure. I'll lead ENN by telling everybody the four jerseys.
And
so that means people
ENN
have 2 hours left.
Back to that?
I'm sorry?
Are we back to who's doing ENN?
Oh, no. Sorry. Andrew's doing ENN. Okay. I just mean I'll set things off right there.
All right. Pretty major event happened yesterday with Italy defeating England. And it ended in penalty kicks. And boy, did I see a tremendous reaction on social media in the negative about that. Like, people that I didn't even know were interested in soccer had an opinion on it. I'll give you mine, and I know Peter will give you his, and we'll even ask Andrew, maybe even Anthony, who knows, or you at 1-800-919-3776. It's Don and Peter on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Don and Peter with you. We're Kalis until Thursday, and then Michael comes back. And this is just the summer. This is the way it works. Got to get our vacation time in, but doesn't mean
summer.
There's not a lot going
okay.
on.
When are, going you, on. When are you off, Don?
It looks like it won't be until August.
No time until August, huh?
That's right.
And then grab in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I'll be grabbing a couple of weeks, August 9th and the 23rd.
Well, good for you.
And got to be around for the Sasso softball, which is coming up on the 31st. Looking forward to that.
I'm, I'm leaving this.
Chris Carlin, Peter Rosenberg.
Greats and near greats.
Greg Buttle, Marty Lyons. Still haven't heard from Bart. Rick DiPietro's a maybe.
I'm actually gone this Friday, by the way, Don.
Okay, but you're here Thursday.
I'm here Thursday.
So we'll be a full unit on Thursday.
We'll be a full unit on Thursday, and then I'm taking Friday and Monday. WWE's back to live events this weekend. The first live show is Friday night SmackDown in Houston. And since I have Money in the Bank, the big pay-per-view on that Sunday in Dallas, Natalie and I are going to go to Houston, take in the SmackDown, and then spend Saturday just driving around Texas eating delicious barbecue en route to Dallas, Fort Worth. And then Monday we're going to stick around a little bit in Dallas. I've never been to the actual museum to check out the whole assassination situation.
I'll tell you what. I went there when the All-Star game was in Dallas for the NHL. So this is 06. The best part of it, and I don't know if this is going to be the case now, you know, with the pandemic and everything, but it was a rumor in Texas anyway, that all the stuff outside the museum, outside the book depository, because you've got all these, like, conspiracy theory, like, stands, right? So at least it was when I was there. Like, you'd walk over and there'd be a stand of a guy, like, with a bunch of pictures explaining to you how Lee Harvey Oswald was the only shooter. And then you'll walk down a little bit, and then there'll be another little wagon, and a guy will have a bunch of stuff with a conspiracy theory that it was the mob or that it was Cuba. And, like, it's really interesting. Like, the museum's interesting. And one of the weirdest things in life, Peter, sports, anything else, see if you follow me.
Okay.
Is when something you've seen on television or in movies your entire life, and then you go there and see it in person, how weird that sensation is. Because it never, ever looks like it does on television or in the movies. But it does, kind of. Like, you'll see all the stuff. There's the grassy knoll. There's the turn. There's the building. It all looks right, but it just feels weird because everything ends up looking smaller than it does on television and in the theater, if that makes any sense.
Now, if obviously I know, like, the basics there are to know about the Kennedy assassination. If there was one thing to take in before you go to the museum to really give you a different level of appreciation, is it the movie JFK? Is it a doc? What is the thing that you would do?
No, the movie.
JFK.
Yeah. Now, you got to sift through a lot of BS, obviously. Some things are exaggerated for poetic license and all that.
I think it's artistic license, but sure.
What did I say?
A poetic.
Was it poetic?
It could be poetic license. But either way.
That movie's phenomenal, by the way. It's a little overdone, but it's tremendous. And that's where I get a lot of, not information, because a lot of it was, that movie went in a lot of different directions that you weren't going to get in grade school. See Kevin Bacon. You know, I don't remember looking at any any books and seeing a man, you know, painted gold. But anyway, that'll probably set you up better than anything else. And for those of you who didn't see JFK and don't know what I'm talking about, you'll get it when you watch the movie. All right. So enjoy that, Peter. It sounds like it's going
to
be a good
No, time. I'm very much looking forward to it. And by the way, I just want to mention, based on a movie conversations we had on this show that led to real life, I watched Road to Perdition this week.
Okay. So is he a heel?
Not even close.
Okay.
Who that take that he was a heel simply because he was a killer. It's like if someone would make that take, and it wasn't you who made that claim.
No, but that what we're talking about is like Tom Hanks. Did he ever play the heel? Was he ever a really truly bad guy?
I was making the argument, no, he's not. And someone throughout Road to Perdition, he's clearly a bad guy there. No. And now, in fact, at the end of the movie, in the epilogue, the voiceover, which is supposed to be the son now as a grown up, says, a lot of people ask me, was your dad a good guy or a bad guy? I say he was my father. So, but to make it clear, he robbed banks, and yes, he killed people. But in the grand scheme of this entire film, which is about gangsters, he's the good guy. He's the guy with a heart trying to protect his family. So, terrible job out of that suggestion. But okay. By the way, fantastic film that I'd never seen.
I haven't seen it either. I need to see that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't seen
Don, it. Don, I think you'd be very into it. Very into it.
You know, at this particular stage of my life, I need to get back to traveling with the Ranger so I can see movies again. Otherwise, I'm just getting like a heavy dose of Disney Plus and watching Cinderella for the 400th time.
God bless it.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
It'll get old quick, but you'll love it until it does. This New York Baseball Report is brought to you by White Plains Hospital. Of course, the Home Run Derby tonight. You can hear it right here on our air at 8 o'clock after Dan Grasso filling in for Chris Carlin. And Pete Alonso is going to participate in it, and he says he loves the Home Run Derby.
It's so fun. That's why. I mean, it's just so darn fun. I think hitting is the most fun part about baseball, and it's a really fun event for fans and for us players. So I think the home run is the coolest part about the game of baseball, and having a whole night and a whole event and a whole contest surrounded by the coolest thing in baseball is awesome, and be able to participate in that, it's such a blast.
This would be something I'd eat up with a spoon if I was younger, Peter. And like I said, I'm 53 years old, so the Home Run Derby kind of passed me by. But I think there's a younger audience. You certainly are a very young, spry 41.
Oh, yeah.
Still love it. But you know, listen, this is you love to hear an athlete actually having a good time. And it sounds like Pete Alonso really is going to have fun. And Ohtani is going to have fun with it. He's really been going to be the star of these days here with the Home Run Derby. And then, of course, with getting a chance to start and lead off in the All-Star game tomorrow in Colorado. But it should be fun for him, and we talked about representation and how much it stinks that DeGrom's not going to be there. But if you're a young Met fan, I'm sure Pete Alonso is in your like top five Mets, and you're going to get to see him have fun in the Home Run Derby, and I hope he wins it.
I'm excited about it. I always enjoy this event. I just think it's one of these rare nights where baseball feels really light and fun and not trying to take itself too seriously. There's the whole timing, the idea of the timed home runs where they're really trying to pump them out. Like I'm into it.
Yeah. And there's names. Like I said, Trevor Story's in this, and people certainly know the kind of year that he's had, last couple of years he's had in Colorado. Gallo in Texas, and he's having a tremendous year as well. So we've had some home run derbies where you're not really sure who's in it, but the participants this year are people that if you're a baseball fan, even a casual baseball fan, there's going to be quite a few names that you're aware of. And Alonso is right there. Matt Olson, Yankee fans certainly know him. He had a big series when he was here. Trey Mancini's on a bad team, but he's a good player. Salvador Perez, remember him. You know, those trips to the World Series. Juan Soto, one of the really good young players in this league. So, listen, this probably has a little bit more star power condensed, Peter, than the actual game tomorrow because of all the guys that aren't going. None of the Astros are going, and DeGrom's not going to be there, and Acuna got hurt, and he's out for the year.
The biggest disaster that could happen and to make this a real letdown would be Ohtani just never – gets eliminated in the first round and doesn't play well. And by the way, he's up against Soto, who's not a slouch. But if Ohtani doesn't put on a show at all, you know, it's just one of those outings where you're like, oh, God, he just keeps hitting outs here. He cannot get it out of the yard. That would be a disappointment. Now, seems crazy considering he's hitting the ball 550 feet in games or whatever he's doing. But if that would be a major letdown for what this event is tonight.
Mm-hmm. And I want to skip down, Anthony, to the third one where Alonso, who was on with Barton and Carlin last week, why aren't you mentioned with the other great young players?
I don't know. That's a good question. And for me, I take pride in everything I do. I work hard. And honestly, like, I think that, I don't know. That's a good question. I guess just keep putting it out there. And I don't know, but I got to do the talking with my bat. So, and I've done that and I'm going to continue to do that.
Well, Peter,
so I'll make it easy for you.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Mets have not been very good since he's been here. And it's really hard in baseball to get a lot of attention when your team isn't very good. Just ask Mike Trout what he's gone through for a decade in Major League Baseball. But I think that's going to change if the Mets have a big second half, get into the postseason, that Alonso will be mentioned with the young players. Because I think that's where people will pay attention to you. Because he's got all of it, at least he's not a great defender. He doesn't bring speed, but you know, he hits home runs and he plays the game with a joy. You saw the other night when he hit the home run. He's pumping his fist. He's excited. He plays the game with that kind of joy that I think is captivating to people. But outside of New York, especially in New York, when you're trying to go up against the Yankees and Judge and all that. But in around the nation, listen, the Tatis Jr. is getting a lot of attention now because the Padres are good. And they were good last year. And Soto played in the World Series already. So that there's going to be attention there. So I think that changes, Peter, once the Mets start to establish themselves as an elite team, start playing some big games in the second half of the year, he'll be in the conversation.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
You know, not a great year last year. This year has been, you know, pretty good. 17 home runs, 250 batting average. But, you know, the being good, I think, is really important in baseball to get that kind of attention. And that's your New York Baseball Report brought to you by White Plains Hospital. Is your health at risk? Visit exceptionaleveryday.org/health to take the quiz and determine your risk factors for a chronic disease, because knowing is exceptional every day. So the All-Star game coming up tomorrow, that'll be on our air. And, of course, the big story is the Home Run Derby tonight. And, of course, on the table is just an awful way that the Mets and Yankees lost their game as it closed out the unofficial first half of the season. Mets blow a 5-0 lead in the first inning. Pirates peck away, and then eventually Diaz gives up the lead in the ninth inning, and they lose 6-5. And, of course, the Yankees 7-2 lead going to the ninth. Blow it. Green gives up the 3-run home run to, of all people, Jose Altuve. So even though the Yankees have a great road trip going 4-2, have a great trip to Houston where they win 2 out of 3, just a sour taste in your mouth. And this team just can't get sweeps for whatever reason. I guess it's a nice problem to have because that means you take the first two games of a series. But, you know, they were no show in Seattle in Game 3, getting one hit, blow the 5-run lead in the ninth inning yesterday when the chance to sweep the Astros and all that went into that. Both teams kind of trolling each other. Altuve getting his jersey ripped off when he wouldn't do it after winning the playoff series in 2019. And then Judge and Sanchez with their whole chili stuff. And very interesting series. And I'm hearing a lot about, boy, wouldn't it be a great playoff series? Can the Yankees just get there first?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Didn't you hear that a lot? Oh, yeah, I can't wait till these teams face each other in the playoffs. Wouldn't it be great to see them face each other in the playoffs? Yeah, it'd be great if the Yankees can get there.
And wouldn't it be a huge letdown if we don't even get to see it happen?
Yeah.
And I really came away yesterday because, remember, I said on Friday, I don't think Yankees fans are obsessed with this being an Astros series. I think they're obsessed with getting wins right now and putting together a season, you know, and a feeling going into the All-Star break that this year could be something. But then, Don, the way the first two games played out, with Cole doing what he needed to do, Judge doing what he needed to do to get such a narrow victory on Saturday, and now you're up big in the third game with a sweep right there. Now, Don, I do think people are starting to think, oh, yeah, this is pretty sweet. Astros sweep in Houston on our way to the break, I'll take this. To have Altuve cap off this just terrible Yankee bottom of the ninth collapse, I don't know, Don. It was almost the worst-case scenario if you're a Yankee fan in terms of your feelings on the Astros.
Yeah, and just Altuve is now certainly public enemy number one. 1-800-919-3776. That said, let's go to Tony in New Jersey. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Tony?
Hi, guys. What I really wanted to talk about today is the fact that, actually, Altuve, when they ripped off his jersey, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was no tattoo. And I don't know if you guys remember, but...
Well, there was a tattoo.
There's a tattoo, but I don't think it's the one that would have taken, like, weeks to finish.
There was, like, no real tattoo. Why would his wife care if we saw that tattoo?
It was
basically non-existent.
But, Tony, here's the deal. I think everyone knows something was up in 2019. I think he was wired. You think he was wired. Peter thinks he was wired. But guess what? Guess when he wasn't wired? Yesterday when he hit the home run. That's what gets lost on the whole thing. Forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, I saw all this yesterday, all the conversation yesterday. This proves he was cheating. I know it. I know he was. I'm going under that assumption. But with the jersey being ripped off, what it shows me is not yesterday. And if he was cheating some other way. And that was probably the message. Well, not today, brother. Not today, brother. Did I use that right?
Yeah, that's it.
You follow what
not
I'm saying?
Today,
it's like, all right, well, that's 2 years ago. But right now, I just beat you, and look, no wire. Because I don't think the Astros care what you think because they get away with it anyway. By the way, I never told this story when I was mispronouncing Snuka. I think I got it right this time. I was a little excited.
Oh, I forgot about the mispronunciation of Snuka.
Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
What were you saying again?
Snuka. I threw in an H. Once in a while, I didn't do it when we had him on last week, but sometimes I would say John Schmaltz. That's what happens when you talk extemporaneously. It happens. But anyway.
I could see how Schmaltz should be Schmaltz.
Right. Very Schmaltzy. Get it.
Right. Schlitzmaltz.
I actually saw Snuka live.
At the Garden?
No.
Where?
All right. This is I don't know how old I wasn't driving yet. So young teens. Understanding that wrestling was probably scripted, but it was still up in the air. Because this is around the time where John Stossel got hit in the head and everything. It was big deal. So I watch with my dad and my brother wrestling. Snuka is a guest on Piper's Pit. And all the matches that took place, wherever they were. But it was on television.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a week later, my father scores tickets to see WWF at William Patterson College. So not a big venue, not the Garden.
No, not at all.
This is just a local college, not a community college.
A non-televised,
non-televised event at a college. William Patterson College, which is now, I think, Wayne University or something. But it's William Patterson College. State school in New Jersey, in Wayne.
Okay.
I go there, Peter. Everything is exactly what I saw the week before on TV. Everything. The matches, the results, the Piper's Pit. And I remember, like that's when it hit me. Like, it's no longer a debate.
Well, it got solved for you,
and I think the
blood.
Are
you sure it was the
exact
same? They should have done a better job than that.
Yeah, I agree.
It shouldn't have been the exact same thing.
So I look up at my father, and I'm like, this is what we saw on TV. He's like, yeah. What do you think? It's wrestling. Like he looked at me like, what?
He thought
you
were a yo-yo.
This was real. Like, he thought it was just, you know, so that's when it came. I don't know what year that would have been. Maybe somebody could look it up. It's,
well,
82, maybe?
I was going to say, this sounds like 83.
Yeah, so I was probably 14. My brother was 11. Oh, by the way, Thursday, big day.
What's that?
Big day. David, my brother.
It's 84, Don, is when it probably happened.
Okay, so 16. So yeah, I probably, I think my father was right.
So all right, anyway. So wait, what about your brother?
Turns the big 5-0.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is a big day. Are you guys doing anything?
Well, Saturday we're having a big party at the house. Big pool party.
A family affair.
Yes. Which I try to do every year for my brother's birthday because it's always in, you know, the middle of July, July 15th. So that Saturday is the best time to do it. So have everybody over. Mom. Got the room all made up for Mom. She's
what's the food? Over. What's the food situation? What's David's go-to here?
Well, see, that's the thing is he eats healthy. It's irritating.
Oh, wait, he never takes a meal off?
Doesn't seem to. So I don't know if I'm going to maybe get like go a catered affair so that I'm free or whether I just go full-blown barbecue. But when people aren't eating, I don't want to do the barbecue.
Well, but hold on. If you barbecue, he wouldn't eat chicken. You throw chicken breast on the grill.
He doesn't go crazy. I think his wife guilts him into just being a little bit conservative.
But even on his 50th birthday.
I know. But I want to go all out, so I haven't decided yet. It really depends on the weather too.
You don't think he'd have a steak or a cheeseburger on his birthday?
Steak. That'd be something. Get steaks for everybody? Okay.
Right.
Woo!
On the grill?
You know what is his 50th birthday?
That's what I'm saying.
Get a bunch of stuff. Oh, come on. Imagine going to a barbecue and the steaks?
Yeah, that's a thing. People do steaks on the grill.
Yeah.
Do it, Don.
All right, listen, I had a steak last night on the grill. It was to die for. I make a nice steak. How do you take yours? Because I know you're a bone-in guy.
No, hold on. First of all, it's a great drop.
It is.
But I'm actually not typically a bone-in guy. I am the softest version of steak eater. For everything I just said to you about your brother, I am, when it comes to steak, the leanest. I'm a filet guy. Give me a very basic filet. But I will admit, a bone-in filet, I have learned that the bone-in does make it delicious.
Yeah. So I like ribeye. New York strip's good, too. No bone in that. And then how do you do a medium rare?
I am typically a medium rare guy, but I will say I'd been medium rare for probably 15 years, and now I find myself again, like when I get it and it's too pink and I kind of chew on it a little too much, I'm like, it has to be done medium rare. It has to be done so well. If they don't do a good, and I don't mean well done, they have to do a great job with it.
Right.
If you do it medium rare and you don't do a perfect job with it and I'm chewing on it, I start to get freaked out.
Yeah, I'm a medium well.
But you know, there are people who think you are literally pond scum.
I know, but I don't care. It's my food.
I was once, Ebro had a birthday a few years ago at some restaurant, and I brought Ballard with me, right? And they did like one of these menus where they just paid and people brought the food around, like to all the tables. Like, I don't know what kind of deal he set up, but basically all the tables where people were sitting, they'd come up and say, hey, we're going to bring you steak. We're going to bring you sides. We're going to bring you this. And someone came over to offer us a steak. And the way they did the steak, Don, was they cut it into like small pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, how would you like your steak? And a friend of mine jumped in and was like, I'd like it well done. And he ordered the steak well done for the table. And Ballard would not stop complaining about it. Disgusted, angry. You're not eating anything. I was like, dude, he enjoys it that way. Yeah. I get it. You don't think it has the flavor anymore of the steak, but that's how he enjoys it. What are you going to do? The steak people with the anger about people getting it well done. I mean, relax.
I know. It's like there's some chefs that will not do it well done. It's like that's their art. Well, listen, no, you're working for me, buddy. I'm paying for the steak. You make it the way I want it. Now, I think well done's a little much, but I go medium. I go like medium well. Nancy likes to drag through a warm room. Teach their own. On Yes, right. 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.